Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and hoster. Producer and hoster. Well, I guess I am a hoster. I'm hosting this darn show, so I'm a hoster. But a host, let's just call it. Producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 13 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality and thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you're just interested in tips on how to elevate your career status. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, and working professionals, and that includes producers, directors, casting directors, agents, talent managers, screenwriters, PR agents, publicists, actors, comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, entertainment lawyers, and the list goes on and on. Now, we try to get everybody on this show. If you missed any of our shows, here are the three ways that you can listen to past shows. Number one, the free mobile app. Go to the App Store, Google Play Store, download us, latalkradio.com, or LA Talk Radio, rather. You can go to our archive page. You can listen directly from the website if you're already listening to us right now. It's latalkradio.com. And just look for the show title, which is Question Reality. And or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona, under the host tab. You can also go to the iTunes, Google Play Store, and Stitcher.com under their podcast section. We're under there. And we kindly ask you a big giant favor, which is to please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast. Everybody needs a subscription. Back in the day, there were only subscriptions to magazines. Now there are subscriptions to people. We all need a subscription. Isn't that, that's evolvement. That's evolvement. We're evolving. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, showcase their projects or their products, or just listen to people and help them by providing career advice. So here's what you got to do. Now, got to focus. Focus. I know my voice is so musical that you feel like you're listening to a symphony. Actually, I have the worst accent. His accent is very, very, very hard to listen to for some people, but I love it. That's all we need. So what you got to do is go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air the show, but you have to go to questionrealityradioshow.com. And that's also where you can see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. If there's a particular career you're interested in, like if you want to be a producer or a director, or you want to be an A&R person or whatever it is, you go there and you say, oh, I don't want to miss this show. The way to submit to be booked on our show is you have to go to the contact link on that page, questionrealityradioshow.com. And it's really, really easy and short. We just need your name, your email, the title, and the website. And that is it. This concludes the information portion of our show. My gosh, I can you believe it's 2/21/21. That I really feel that this is going to be a lucky. I felt when I woke up it was going to be a lucky day, and it is, because we have the one and only Miss Freddie on the show today. And Miss Freddie, let me just tell you a little bit about my girl, Miss Freddie. First of all, let me tell you, she's repped by my favorite person in the music business, Michael Stover. He has a company called MTS Management. Let me give you the website, mtsmanagementgroup.com. And I'm telling you now, if you are a singer and you want to have a person that is going to have your back and get you out there on interviews, and even if you're just starting out in your career, you're in the middle of your career, or you're on the move, you're rocking and rolling, you're one step away from a Grammy, you want to go to Michael Stover to get that Grammy, because he's going to help you. Again, MTS Management Group, MTS Records. He is 2013, 14, 17, 18, and 19 IMEA Artist Manager of the Year. 2014, he was the Nashville Universe Artist Manager of the Year. 2015, 16, oh my God, 17, 18. It's just awards, 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 awards. He's fantastic. And he reps Miss Freddie, the guest today. So highly recommend that you check them out. Again, mtsmanagementgroup.com. And Miss Freddie, let me tell you, for the past 25 years, Miss Freddie, who is a blues and gospel singer, has been singing the blues. She has two Blues Foundation Award nominations for her album, Lady of the Blues. She is an iTunes chart topper. She's heavily involved with a lot of charities. She is most notable and admirable. She's a frontline nurse in Pittsburgh. And she's got an amazing story to tell us about her late start in the music industry as a career, which I'm always, always interested in hearing stories about that, because so many people, they want to change a career. And they think, it's over for me. You got to start in the womb if you want a Grammy by the time you're a year old. No, that's not true. And you are going to hear the story about Miss Freddie. So you're going to be motivated and inspired. Today, we're going to be discussing her song, Wait in the Water, and we're going to be playing it for you too if around 5:30. And this is the lead single from her I believe it's her forthcoming gospel album that's due for a spring 2021 release. And Wait in the Water is available on all major digital platforms. So after you hear it, you're going to say, oh my God, I have to have this song on my playlist. Well, you can have it, because it is available on all of the digital sites, I'm sure. But I think so. I think we better ask her. So again, it's available on all the major digital platforms. So please make sure that you get it if you like it. We are very excited to play it. And I didn't want to play it myself, because it's one of my favorite songs, and I didn't want to play it until we actually were on this interview together, because I want to hear it for the very first time while she's on the show. I want it to be a new experience, because of course we've heard Wait in the Water done by so many artists, but I wanted to hear it done by Miss Freddie. So I will not be hearing it until 5:30, along with most of you. So without further ado, let's welcome Miss Freddie to the show. Wow, Miss Freddie, did you hear that celebrity applause?
I did. I did. Thank you. I'm so excited.
It's a little tacky thing. I love it. I just absolutely love playing that little applause, because I think Miss Freddie, everybody in life should have a theme track. So when you're walking down the street, you should have your very own theme song. You should have wind blowing through your hair. And you, every time that you move, there should be a swish, swish, swish. Don't you think that that's what life should be about?
It should be. Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love the idea. I'm going to use that idea.
That's right. Now, you are, my God, you are such a busy little bee. But we want to start with your origin story. So I would love for our audience to know, when did you know that you wanted to be a blues and gospel singer? And who was the very first person that inspired you to become a vocalist, and why?
Growing up, I used to sing in the neighborhood with a couple of my friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then as I got older, became a teenager, my very first time singing in front of people, I was 15. I did a solo. That's another story I'll tell you about.
Okay.
And then after that, you know, I continued singing in choirs in the different churches that I attended. But it wasn't until 96, I was singing Silent Night to my youngest, because that's what I did with my kids. I love the holidays, Christmas time, and I would pick a song and I would sing a cappella. And the guy that I was dating at the time was a bass player in a band, and he heard me sing, and he's like, I didn't know you could sing. And I looked at him and I said, I didn't know I could sing either. I'm here. Hello?
Yeah, oh, I'm here. You know, it went silent. I don't know. And then all of a sudden you cut out and now you're back.
I'm back.
The last thing I heard was you were dating a bass player and he said, I don't know you could sing. And you said, I don't know. I didn't know I could sing either. And then can you repeat? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, you heard. One night I was singing Silent Night to my youngest as I sing, you know, I love Christmas holidays because I love the Christmas song. And that was my favorite song to sing to my kids when they were little toddlers, babies. And he heard that and he said that. And he said, you know, my band is looking for a singer. And so in my head, I'm like, no, not me. Don't say me. No, no, no. and then he convinced me. And finally, I went to some days later, I went to audition for the band. The band was in one room and they had a microphone cord that was 100-foot long. And I took that cord, went in the bathroom, which was next door to that room, closed the door, turned the water on and started just singing something.
Wow.
And that's how it started.
Wow.
And my mentor, I know. And people look at me, I said, I can prove it. There are people who know me around the time and people who were in the band that are still alive, except for my mentor, Big Al Levitt. He was the band leader and my mentor. And he got me into singing blues. And that he was my biggest influence as far as getting out there and doing what I have to do.
Wow. So let's move on to what was your first professional gig or paying job and how did you book it? Was it an audition or did they just say, well, we know you can sing, you got the job, show up, you got it?
Well, in my the first band that I was in, Blues Music Works or BMW, that was the first time ever. I'll never forget, our first gig was at a place called Solid Days, which is now closed. It's probably about, about a half an hour outside of Pittsburgh. And, you know, to me, it was a lot of money because I didn't know. I had never done this before. And it was exciting, but I'm going to tell you. That is the weirdest thing.
What? Oh, my God. I'm processing it. Whoa. Oh my God. Okay. Woo. Oh my God. Your stories, I was just thinking that you must have a million cool stories, and I wanted to know about so many of them, but I wanted you to tell us about your inspirational story about your late start in the music industry as a career. First of all, you seem very young to me, so I don't know about what your late start was, but can you tell us about that? You like to call it your late start?
I would say, well, you know, back then, 25, I was in my 30s. And to me, that's a late start because nowadays, and even 10 years ago, you know, your early start is by the time you are 14, 15, 16, 17. You know, 25 is like you're in the middle
Oh,
of
I
your
know.
career.
Did you hear me
So.
earlier? I said if you haven't won a damn Grammy by the time you're in the womb, then you're
Yeah.
already starting late.
Yeah.
So I know what
Oh,
you
yeah.
mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I had no intention of becoming a professional singer because I love what I do. I think it's, you know, I think it's the most satisfying, rewarding, next to me being a nurse, that I could possibly give the world and do. So, you know, that first time of getting paid, I was excited. I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, yay, you know. But at the same time, my stage fright was, you know, it was out of this world. My anxiety level went through the roof. I was so scared to death to sing in front of people. And I sat behind the band, and the bass player who I was dating, and my back was to them, so I'm facing the wall and they're facing the audience. And I did that for a year until my mentor said, "You've got to figure out a way how to get over." He said, "Because people want to hear you." I said, "They can hear me." He said, "No, no, 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 no. They need to see who they're hearing." And I'm like, ah.
That leads us into a great piece of advice that you could give the audience. What do you do to conquer stage fright? Like, what do you do?
I don't do the normal imagine everybody with, you know, naked. No,
Naked.
that's not going to work for me.
No, what the
'Cause I'll
hell makes
have all
you do
kind of visions. And I
Yes.
don't want to have those visions. But
Yes.
what I do, what I finally learned to do, and I've done this over the last several years, is imagine it's me watching me. And I'm telling, you know, myself, it's like, look, I paid this money to come in here to see you. I had to maneuver my schedule to come and see you. I could be doing something. You need to make sure you entertain me, keep me here at least your first set or an hour. And that's what I do. I imagine it's me in there because right now it's like, oh my gosh, I got to sing to her and she's something else. You know, she already approached me as a hot mess.
And you know, when you look, I've always been what I've wondered about this because I know my husband is a software developer by day, but he's also a jazz musician and he sings. So he plays jazz guitar, bass, and he sings. And he said that he tries not to make eye contact with people in the audience because if they're just sitting there with a depressed face or sad or mean looking or they're not paying attention, it throws him off completely. What do you and other singers have told me this as well, but then you got other singers who say that it is vital to make eye contact with people in the audience and it doesn't throw them off as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I like both of those, and I'm going to tell you why. It depends because, you know, when I have played for larger crowds, and I'm talking about thousands of people I've performed in front of, you know, you cannot fixate on everyone, but you can look, and this is something I learned from a public speaking class I took a long time ago when I was in college. If you stand there and you look, you can look straight through the crowd or between two people or three people, and they will feel like you are looking at them. And So what I do is, if I'm in a smaller venue, I will look at people because number one, I can spot somebody who's really into it. And if you're not really into it, I'm going to concentrate on you. Whereas I'm still concentrating on the whole crowd. And, you know, it takes one person or something. Somebody may, you know, they may look like they're not paying attention, but I look at their body motion. They might be tapping her finger, and that's all I need.
That's it.
And it's like, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to move on. So I do both of those scenarios. I really do. And it helps. And people want to know that you're paying attention to them, that you're singing to them.
That's what I would think too. I think I'd be staring them down. I think I would. I think I would want to know how I'm affecting my audience if I were a singer. So now there are many different career paths in the entertainment industry and many skills that you really need to build a successful career. To be successful in show business, what do you feel are the first three skills that you should pursue and master? Like, is when you're starting out, what do you say? This is absolutely mandatory that you need to focus on these things. It could be, you know, one, two, three, but three would be good.
I think for me coming into music, the one thing you have to hone in on, master, and make sure you keep those as your top three. They could change, but make sure you still keep them. For me is continue building up on your craft, what you're doing. In my case, I'm a singer. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, after all these years, I'm taking vocal lessons, and people look at me with a deer in the head, like, they're like, what? Why do you need vocal lessons? I said, because I've never had formal training. I never went to school for music, never did any of that, never had any type of, you know, nothing. I said, this is all from watching and learning and practicing, rehearsing, whatever you want to call it. That's my top thing. Mm-hmm. You're competing with yourself, not anyone else.
Right.
So every day. So that's what you need to do. My second thing is to, when you make a commitment, you make a it's a promise. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think you can hold on to that promise/commitment, don't do it.
Right. Exactly.
That is so important. And that's anything in life, you know,
right.
But you know, music particularly. And then the third thing I would say is surround yourself with positivity as far as people, as far as, you know, musicians, producers, whatever, that you all are on the same page, the chemistry is there. That would be the three things. And that's very hard because it's a trial and error thing. It truly is.
Exactly.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
You truly don't know who you can go to, who you can get advice. So it's a trial and error. Never get disappointed by that. Never, ever, ever.
Mm-mm.
So those are the three things.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, I get so many varied answers with this, and I always find this to be a really good question to ask people because there's so many different things they say. You've been in several bands, and what are a couple of things that vocalists and musicians can do to guarantee a great gig or a long-lasting relationship? Because as we've seen, bands get together and they don't stay together. The drummer sleeping with the vocalist, or the vocalist is sleeping with all of them. There's sleeping going on. There's arguing, fighting. There's jealousy. There's so many things that we've heard about the bands breaking up, right? over the decades. There, I think the only, the only lasting bands I think are like the Rolling Stones. I think they're still together, and then Aerosmith, and maybe one other band. But it's hard. And I watch all of the documentaries on the Reels channel about the bands breaking up and what caused. And it's usually the same old story: sex, drugs, rock and roll. But those seem to have been the essence back in the day. But how do you, as a, like, if you, because I read that you started several bands, how do you get the vocalists and the musicians to stay together, at least to get through a gig, right? Let alone a long relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, I see that till this day, locally and regionally and nationally. It's kind of interesting. And I said, you know, and that's great. That's great that people want to freelance or do that. But I'm a firm believer in making that group work. Yeah. And I'm the band leader. I have two bands. And so it was very hard because I had no clue on how to, you know, make a good band chemistry, because I had to go through some musicians.
Yeah.
You know, people came and go. They were all talented. I loved them all. And throughout the years, if one of my guys, permanent guys, couldn't do a gig, I know I could rely on others. But what I do, and it comes from when you're the leader, if you're setting, and I hate to say this, rules, because, you know, rules is just such a word that I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
But you have to. Yeah. There's a set of rules. There's a set of chemistry. And as the band leader, you have to set an example. Mm-hmm. You always have to be, you know, on task, keep things going. And like I said, there's that promise and that commitment. You have to stick with that because your band is looking up to you.
Right.
And the other thing is chemistry. And so the two bands that I have, they're separate guys. And I've had them now since, oh my gosh, 2009. That's a long time.
I would say. So
the same guys in my blues band I have now, and then the same guys in my acoustic band, there's four of us, you know, three of them, same guys. And it's the chemistry and the commitment and the love of what we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do, and they've given me advice because I'm open to take advice. You can approach me.
Yeah.
I'm approachable. I just feel that's necessary. And of course, in my acoustic band, there, I love those guys. It's like, whatever you want to do. Oh, really? I think you all were sweet. But at the same time, they have this musical experience. My electric band is the same way. My guitar player, I give him carte blanche. You know, I'm like, okay, we'll do this and do that. And if he happens to come across a gig and he books it, you know, he does. He'll put me in my place. He's like, I want you all to act like this. I said, wait a minute. Hold on. We're good. We know how to act. So it's that chemistry.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of my band. So it I'm telling you, it's the chemistry. Yeah. It's the, if you're the band leader, you stick to your guns, you stick to your promises, and you set an example, and you be professional. Right. Because they both know, not no getting high and no drinking like a fish when we're at a gig. We can do that after the gig
after.
Or you can. I have to drive home.
Right.
Yeah, and I said, it's all about that. I said, because guess what? We might be playing in a small venue, but there's somebody in the audience who likes us, and it might be a bigger venue. And that's what's been happening.
Right. Yeah.
I've been playing more and more festivals every year, except for last year. More and more other shows, been on TV, and it's just nice. It's just very, very nice.
Yeah, and you know, you just have, I mean, you know, the musicians, they like to do the smoking and the drinking and the carousing, but it's the ones that really take the job seriously, I think, that have the ability to stay in the band. Because I tell you, it's very hard when you have people that are showing up late and they come drunk or they're smoking pot out in the hall. I've seen it all. See, in it all. And I cannot imagine being the band leader and having to tell someone, because it makes you feel like you're taking on a parental role when you got to tell a grown person, hey, you can't be getting high or drinking before you got away. And that's perfect what you said. Wait until after.
Oh, yeah. I'm the music wife.
Yeah.
Like, they all have girlfriends and wives. So I'm the music wife.
Music.
And, you know, and I have a good rapport with their girlfriends and their wives. And because they know I'm the only female, I'm the main vocalist for both bands. So, you know, things have to be so. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm asking for professionalism and the love of what we're doing. And we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
We're going to get people up dancing. We're going to get people up singing. I said, because those people are going to be drinking and smoking, not us. And it works every time, every single time.
That's great. Well, you know, it has come to that time. We are going to listen to your song. Woo-hoo!
Oh,
I've been waiting. Now, it is called, it's called Wait in the Water. Now, I think I told you earlier, Miss Freddie, this is one of my favorite songs. Haven't heard it. Because I wanted to hear it first time with you. And I wanted to say now to everyone, this is to date. Now, this is to date. I haven't heard Miss Freddie, so it could change. But to date, my favorite person ever singing this song was a singer named Eva Cassidy, who not many
Oh,
people,
my gosh.
You know who she is?
May she rest in peace. Absolutely.
You know what? Not many people know her or have heard of her because, as you know, she unfortunately died in her 30s of cancer when her career was just getting started. Oh, my gosh. For a white girl, she could sing some blues. Mm-hmm. Right, and some gospel. I mean, she was an incredible singer, and I have heard everyone do this song practically, and to date, she was my favorite. But this song evokes different things for everyone. So, what does this song mean to you?
Well, growing up in church, that's when I first heard it, and I loved it, didn't know the meaning behind it. And when I became an adult and, you know, I found out the meaning behind it, you know,
tell us,
I can
for those
relate
of us who
to
don't
it.
Know, you know, I know what it means, but a lot of people are like, what does it mean? Does it mean you're getting baptized? Does it mean, you know, what, tell them?
Well, whenever it first got started before 1901, because that's when it was first published. It was usually a line of communication. And, you know, people would mix the biblical sense of everything with that, you know, in that song. And for me, the takeaway for me is, yes, the song, there's a particular water, a particular something that it's leading you to something that is good out of the no hope, the despair, the depression, the sadness. This song is a song that will just take you away and will, you know, lead you on the right track.
I like that. All right. Without further ado, we are going to hear Miss Freddie singing one of the all-time great songs, Wade in the Water. And when we come back, we are going to be discussing her upcoming Gospel Roots album, her new single video. So, and she just mentioned to me right before we started the show something about the love of my life, Brett Michaels, you from Poison. You don't want to miss the story. So without further ado, let's hear Miss Freddie doing Wade in the Water.
Wade in the water, wade. Children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. See that host all dressed in red. God's gonna trouble the water. Looks like the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Way away in the water.
Water.
Way in the water, children. Way in the water.
God's gonna trouble the water. Trouble the water.
Well, it looks like the children of the Israelites.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Way away in the water. Way in the water, children. Way in the water.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Trouble
the water.
Looks like the children that Moses led. Way in the water, children. Way.
Miss Freddie, I think that's the one for me.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. And those gospels, I mean, was that a gospel choir? Or they were fantastic.
Well, I owe all of that to Kim Parent. She's out of Nashville, Tennessee. She is wonderful.
Really. And I tell you that there is so much, you put so much passion and there is so much meaning for you in that song. You could just tell you were singing it from your soul, girl. It was a soul searching song and you found it. You touched it. And you, this is a song that's off of your upcoming Gospel Roots album. I think you told me it was entitled Glory Be. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That's the title of the upcoming album when it comes out this summer sometime.
Oh, it's
and
summer.
Wade in the Water will be part of it.
Ooh. Now, how many songs are going to be on your album?
Well, we're talking about 11. It could be 9 to 11. We're talking about that right now. So okay. I'm excited. Whatever it's going to be, I'm happy. But I think everybody's like, let's do 11. Let's do 11 because these are good. These are good. And So, and that's fine. That is fine. So I'm excited about that.
And when will you definitely know? Is it? It's going to be on all the digital platforms, iTunes, you know, Apple Music, et cetera, et cetera.
Apple Music, Amazon, exactly. Spotify, yes, YouTube.
Okay. So if they just type Miss Freddie, that's all they need to, and it's going to come up? Or
it's going to come up. Okay. It's going to come up all over the place.
Oh, man, up. Oh, woo! Now, that's like a whole process getting your songs on these digital platforms. Is it a hard process to do that? Or do you have someone that do it for you? Or do you do it yourself? You know, like to
well,
get it, just say iTunes.
I know with Wait in the Water, Mike Morgan, who is the producer, he took care of all of that. Now, when I did my second album, Lady of the Blues, I did that. But what I did was I used CD Baby as the main platform, and they did the rest. They put it on iTunes, Amazon, you name it, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube. So it's kind of nice to be able to, you know, maneuver and do something like that.
Wow.
It's a long process, but it was good. It was a learning point.
Now, do you have to go through the whole long process every time, or was that because it was the first time and you had to open up an account and you had to do like a whole bunch of stuff? Or
when I did my second album, it was a very long process. But I didn't take too long. It probably took me maybe a couple weeks because there was something that I had to do. And a lot of the songs that were originals, I had to make sure that the artists, you know, they were either ASCAP or BMI and CD Baby. They make it very easy. I would recommend using them for anyone that's just starting out, if you're not under a label or some type of a management company, use CD Baby because they have the platform and they do the rest. You just have to make sure you fill in the blank. So it wasn't bad. If I had to do it again, I would go that route, but I don't think I have to do it again because Michael Stover, I'm under his label now. So when my gospel root CD comes out, it'll be all him.
It will. And let me tell you, there is nobody that you can count on better than Michael Stover. I'm telling you, this guy, and I do not, believe me, I do not offer compliments easily. I really don't, because I got a little bit of OCD going on, Miss Freddie, and I'm a perfectionist, and I don't like people to make promises and then not keep them,
right,
and not return emails. I mean, you can't operate that like that. And this is a man, I swear, I don't think he really sleeps. I think he's up 24 hours. One time I couldn't sleep. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning and I sent him an email. I'm like, okay, I know there's a 3-hour time difference being in LA. Woo! He returned that email in like 5 minutes. I'm like, what? What is he doing up at this time? But, you know, he's really on top of it. So you're very, very lucky to have Michael Stover. Good business decision. Now, I want to get this. Okay, so before we came on the air, you just gave me, I was all a flutter. I was titillated because you mentioned the name Bret Michaels from Poison. And you know, that was like one of my boys. Tell me, what is your association with Bret Michaels?
Well, from what I understand, he's from Butler, Pennsylvania, which is probably about an hour away from me. I'm like, yay. But my second single that is coming out, it's being produced under Brian Cole. Thank you, Brian. I love you. He came as recommendation from Michael Stover. I am going to do the song Something to Believe In. Did I let the cat out the bag? Yeah, I did. I love that song. It's so, a lot of people have different meanings for songs, but as I listen to the song over and over again, multiple times, and I'm still doing it, You know, that's, and especially what's going on in this day and age with the chaos and everything, and, you know, people feeling sad, depressed, don't know where to turn, loss of hope. That is a perfect song to put out there and do. So I'm excited about doing that. I really am. And I hope I do it justice. I want to do it justice. And I'm just excited. I'm so excited.
What I'm more excited about, Bret Michaels. What are you going to do to him? You got to touch him for me. You got to pluck a piece of his hair out. What can you do for me?
Maybe one day Bret and I can get together and it's like we could do a shout out. I'm like, Bret, just give me like 5 minutes of your time. Won't even take 5 minutes. Let's do a 30-second, like, you know, blip for Priscilla Leone out there in on LA Talk.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, who? And I'm like, oh, I'll tell you about her. Come on. Yeah, I could probably do that.
So how is Bret Michaels, is he going to be involved in the project at all? Like, how is he?
No, it's me, local, and local musicians, and a local studio here, Mr. Small Studio on the north side of Pittsburgh. That's where I'm recording. And I hope to wrap up everything March 28th, because people keep asking me, when is this coming out? You keep talking about it. So sometime in April, I'm hoping to come out, and I got another project that's behind it that I'm in the talks and working with the I'm very excited about it. There is a young lady, it's in the works of, it's going to be a video coming out of that song. And there's a young lady here in Pittsburgh, very talented. She's actually coming out to LA next month.
She is?
So for a project, yes. Her name is Alexis Solanas, and I'm so excited. Hi, Alexis. I love you. So we're in the talks of doing a video featuring Bret Michaels' song.
Oh, so that's how Bret Michaels came in to play, doing the Bret Michaels song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe Bret Michaels will like it and he'll do, like, I don't know, like a little personal visit. I don't know. I just love that guy. He is just amazing. Now, we almost have run out of time, so I want to know what... I want to know, oh God, there's so many things. There's so many things that we could talk about, but I guess I want to know, what do you feel are some, has your music evolved since you first began playing music? I mean, do you feel like
absolutely.
And how so?
Oh my gosh, it has, because from the time that I formed, after I left my very first band in about 2002, 2003, and formed my very first band, and from that time up until today, I am more open as far as the quality of the music that I do. And I love doing original music because, you know, even though I don't do arrangements or anything, I have people who do that for me. I have people that write the original material for me over the years, and I love doing originals. Mm-hmm. And so the music that I do has evolved into music of empowerment, music of hope. Hence my song titled Lady of the Blues. It talks about empowerment, and no matter what, you know, keep on going, you know, keep up the good fight, keep up the track, you know, you got this. Mm. So that's how it's in, you know, it has evolved since 2002, 2003.
If you could go back in time, now this is going to take a thought. If you could go back in time to the beginning of your desire to pursue a career in music, and you could give your younger self some advice or a warning about pursuing a career in music industry, what would you say?
I would say go take some lessons, go to music school, and keep always building yourself on that. Keep mastering, honing in on your craft. That's what I would say. And surround yourself with people who believe in what you are doing. And remember, at the end of the day, what you do is not for you to keep. It is for you to give back to the world. That would be my advice to my younger self.
And you, sir, I think that you, that's a continuing process for you. I really think that you have that ability to be able to make the edits and adjust and to keep going on. What at the end of your lifetime career in music, what do you feel like you want to achieve? Like, what is your ultimate goal?
To tour Europe.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had a 3-week tour November 2020, but it got canceled because of the pandemic.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes. I want to tour Europe. That's my all-time thing to do as a blues singer. I would love to go over there and, tour.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the goal, and you're going to do it.
You are going to tour, girl.
You'll be on your way. Well, what are you doing to keep yourself busy other than, because there are no gigs, right? Or are they no live gigs, right? So you're just
no live gigs.
Right?
Live gigs yet. I have stuff booked in the summer. I'm doing a couple festivals, a couple outdoor events. But I'm a nurse by trade. I work 5 days a week, keeps me busy. And I'm happy for that. And also, working on the project of that upcoming Gospel Roots album and focusing on new material for both bands, because when we come back, with our music, live music, it's going to be all new material. It's going to be music that people can continue to appreciate out of us.
Oh my Lord. Well, real quick, let's give a shout out to your band members. Who's your squad, girl?
So my first band is the Electric Blues Band called Miss Freddie's Blues Band. There's Greg Casile, nicknamed G-Man. There's Gregory Seiko, nicknamed Bootleg / Big Sexy. Don't ask. That's a story in itself. There's my drummer, Tim McDermott out of Lawrenceville. I call him TD, Bob Powers. And then my acoustic is Mike Houston on guitar and keyboard. There is Ray Sherman on bass and Bob DiCola on percussion. And those are my seven guys. And they still don't. Nobody still wants to be band leader. Every year I ask. So I'm putting it out there in the world. Every year I ask, and guys, February I ask, and they'll tell me, no, we don't want to do it, because they don't want to do that. That's just too much.
No, they're sticking on you, honey. Well, I would love to be surrounded by seven men personally. So, I would be happy as a bug in a rug, but at least it's not seven women. I think it'd be a little bit more difficult with seven women. I'll keep the guys surrounding me anytime. Well, I wanted to thank you so much, Miss Freddie. We're so excited for your career, and you have one of the most wonderful personalities. You are a fantastic guest. I highly recommend for my people that are listening who also have shows, you got to get Miss Freddie on as a guest, because wasn't she so fun and so lovely? And we hope that you come back on the show so we can promote it when it comes out. Talk to Michael and get back on the show so we can give you, some more promotion.
Oh, definitely. And I would love to come back out California, because I recorded my second album out there in San Jose at Greaseland Studios under Kit Anderson. So I would love to come back out there and just tour California.
You and I together, because when you come into the radio station, we do everything video live, Facebook live. So wouldn't it be fun to just go live and have you sing live on the air? That would be the ultimate.
Absolutely. And I do have some musician friends out in California, so I know they would be excited to accompany me once I come out there.
Make it a plan. As soon as this damn COVID is over, we can start traveling again. All right, yep. Sweetie. Well, say goodbye to your fans.
Oh, bye, everybody, and thank you so much. And thank you for your continued support. I love you guys. You know where to follow me on all my platforms.
Social, platforms. We said it. Oh, my gosh, we got to get that out. I think we said it, but let's make sure we do it again. We got the website, missfreddy.com. And that's F-R. Now, it's not regular Freddie. It's Miss F-R-E-D-D-Y-E. F-R-E-D-D-Y-E.com. She's on Facebook as Miss Freddie. YouTube, Twitter at Miss Freddie 17. Instagram. Now, your Instagram is not a regular Instagram. You got to set up an Instagram because I couldn't tag you because we have a hashtag Miss Freddie's Blues Band, but it's not an actual technical Instagram page.
If you go under Freddie Stover's Blues.
Freddie
Stover, or Freddie Stover's Blues. It's one of the two. There's a lot of people that tag me.
That down, Freddie Stover.
Stover.
Mm-hmm. Stover or Stover? Stover.
Stover. Yep. Like Michael Stover. No relation.
No relation. Okay. So let's say Instagram, she's under Freddie Stover Blues, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Instagram. Yeah. Okay. And then go to and give her a little thumb up. We need subscriptions and thumbs up for Miss Freddie. And we're going to follow your career. I love and adore you. You are a wonderful soul. And we hope you come back soon. So we thank you again. Say hi to everyone who attends her. If you go to her show and you heard it on the actual, on our radio show, make sure that you go up to her and tell her, oh, I heard you on the Question Reality radio show, and we have a t-shirt for you. But I'll have to confirm that Miss Freddie saw you. So there you go. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.